good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The Ministry of Youth and Sports recently launched an online survey to gather user insights about the esports ecosystem in the country. Minister Hannah Yeo says the data from the survey will be used to draft policies and strategies for esports. Now, on the show today, we're going to be speaking to two stakeholders of the esports industry and try and get their thoughts about what they'd like to see addressed in future policy. First up is Ahmad Fadli Ahmad Dahlan. He's better known by his online moniker, Neo Todak. He is the CEO of Todak Studios, which is a game developer and publisher. Neo, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm hoping we can begin our conversation, thinking from the perspective of a non-specialist audience, and for those of us who are outside of the world of gaming, maybe you can begin by giving us a lay of the land of esports in Malaysia. I mean, how exactly are we doing? Are we doing well?
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Neo. That's my in-game name, actually. So every gamers have their own in-game name. So mine is Neo. We start off on the esports side. For the non-gamers or the one that doesn't really understand esports, is all about esports is basically the movement or in the industry that grows from the gaming industry. So the conventional sports, we don't have any owners. The one that's going to make the rule is the one that knows the sport. But for esports, the one that control the game, control the rules, is the owner of the game itself, which is a company. It's all privately owned company. And then the esports industry, surprisingly, is really great in Malaysia and especially in Southeast Asia, to be exact. Because from the statistic that has been shown from 2021, actually, Malaysia is also one of the most countries that actually spend in term of the in-game currency in the game itself. Like, for example, we have Mobile Legends. Malaysia used to be number two right now in term of spenders in the game. So those are the games that actually being used in the esports industry in Malaysia. So like I said, the market of esports in Southeast Asia and Malaysia is still growing. It's not small anymore.
Okay, all right. So clearly there's a market, there's a demand, there's interest. But in terms of the ecosystem, in terms of the policy, what would you say are some of the biggest issues?
Okay, when you talk about policies, right, in the esports, you have to understand something. We, in Malaysia, we don't have our own game owners or game publishers that actually, develop their games and then that game itself being inside the esports industries. So we have a lot of foreign companies that are coming in and doing event. That is one of the section of esports industries, right? Event, tournaments. Of course, they're just following the rules of, making events in Malaysia. But you have to understand something. When esports, we are talking about digital content. So the content of the game, whatever they bring inside the game itself, the cultures, the violence or the gameplay itself is not being monitored. And we don't really have an exact act to actually filter that. So whatever games that is considered famous, whatever games that that's being held in esports industries, in tournaments especially, we basically just open it. Like if you have a famous game, for example, we have Dota 2, we have a lot of titles, right? They just come in, they say they want to make an event in Malaysia, and that's it.
So a quick question, Neo. Should that then be under the purview of KBS, under the Youth and Sports Ministry?
Okay, this is also the thing about the government agencies or the government side of in terms of esports, right? We have KBS that the one handles the athlete and the plan for the athletes or the sport itself. But we also need to work together with MCMC, the one that handles the digital and communication of it, because E in the sport is actually electronic, which is the game. So that's the product. That's why when I look at Malaysia, the one that we have, of course, I can see KBS have their own plan, and KBS has been done really well. They actually supported in the esports industry in terms of the event, in terms of the facilities, in terms of the athlete development. But from the MCMC side, the Malaysian Communication and Multimedia Commissions, right, they have shown some efforts in terms of supporting event as well. And then they also support like app development and game development locally. But from the filtration side, for example, the latest case or everyone knew about this is whereby the MCMC blocked a game, they banned a game. If you're familiar with the game, like the Fighting God, the Fight of God, yeah, that is one powerful movement that they do. So I know that Malaysia can do that. We can actually control whatever games, whatever esports coming into Malaysia. So MCMC should play the role as well with KBS.
Okay. Is that, might that, so how would that impact the industry by having content regulated in that way? Would that have a positive impact, or might that impact it negatively? Because as you said, this is really driven by private companies who want to launch their games or want more players in the country. Might that be a... put a dampener on foreign companies who think Malaysia might not be as vibrant of an esports market?
We are doing the same thing with the entertainment industry, where we have a content rating system, right? And then in the same time, this is also good for the country itself, because, for example, in terms of taxation, you know, whatever happening in the game itself, we only want to control the content that they're going to bring into the countries. In the same time, the country itself can actually gain some income with them. And it's not just the country's benefit, it also benefits to the publisher as well, because there is a partnership and collaboration happening. So the government of the country itself can support. Like you see what MDEC does, they support the developers, the outside or foreign developers coming into Malaysia. They give a lot of support, you know, so we can do the same thing with esports.
Right. I'm hearing quite a number of different ministries involved in esports. The Youth and Sports Ministry, the Communications Ministry, MDEC is also involved. So I think there needs to be more, I think, cooperation or cohesion in terms of policy making. There is a 5-year plan for esports, I think the strategic plan for esports development. Started 2020 and then until 2025. And there's, you know, budget, there's been money allocated to this clearly with every budget, every year budget is allocated to esports. So where would you like to see the policy focus be in terms, and where the money should be? You mentioned a little bit about events being held. What about talent development? What about the sponsorship and the rural private sector and infrastructure? Talk to me, walk us through those types of challenges.
Okay. Yes, I understand that. When we talk about like for right now in esports, there are at least two biggest government bodies that are actually handling it, and both of them actually handles a separate section of esports. Like KBS, they are more towards the athlete development and also, you know, supporting the talent, supporting the training and education as well. And I would say that they also support in the KBS plan, the 5-year plan in terms of the infrastructures, but from the MCMC side, it's more towards the game itself, the digital product itself. So they does not clash with each other. You know, for example, like when the game is being done in like the esport tournament or something being done in Malaysia or being played by Malaysian. So what KBS does, they can focus more towards the players themselves. You know, the teams that are gonna be in that tournament. But from the MCMC side, it's more towards like the game itself. You know, right. For example, you can bring in local partners inside the game to sponsors the event, sponsors the game. So that's, like I said, it's not that confusing though. You have to understand the focus of the bodies itself.
So it's about working together. Can we focus on talent development, since that's what's under the purview of the Youth and Sports Ministry? How is talent currently being developed? Are you satisfied with the way it's, you know, the pipeline of talent? Walk us through how casual gamers transition to become professional players.
Okay. Because TODA itself, for ourselves, we actually have our own esports team. So we have been through what the KBS or what the government has been supporting us, especially in terms of the talent development, right? So firstly, esports has been here for a long time, even before the plan has been done. So most of the talent actually being developed by our own or brands or companies in Malaysia, or sometimes even personal, right? So the flow that they do nowadays, I would say it's not complete yet, but it's there, it's heading there, you know, from the side of the sponsorship. And also in KBS, they also have association. Every state in Malaysia have their own association and esports, right? So they have been helping us a lot though. For example, like, you know, every tournament that we want to go, they actually going to inform us, they're going to guide us, how do we go there, and then they also do the qualifying of you know, to represent Malaysia. They also create a flow whereby how can you represent Malaysia according to KBS ways, which is also a good thing as well. And so, like I said, the latest one that I knew is some states, they have been building infrastructures. Even KBS and Impact and ESI, they also have a esports hub, if I'm not mistaken. They've been done that. So it's a training facilities that the athlete can use.
Okay, so what would be on your wish list as a stakeholder in this industry? What would be your wish list for esports policy? If you had the ear of Hannah Yeo and Adam Adli, what would you like them to have the ministry focus on?
Okay, what I would like, because like I said, because esports has been here long before KBS getting involved in it, so I would say that I would love to see a lot of collaboration between all of the people in esports together with the KBS sitting together, and then we work onto some solid plan whereby, you know, it's not just KBS enforcing that to everybody that have been in esports for a long time. It's together. Like, for example, like, you know, you're gonna build an infrastructure for the athlete, but you have to understand something, not all the games are being done in esports. So how you can get that is from the community themselves, you know, and what they need. So at least we know that, for example, the mobile game, this is to actually avoid wasting a lot of money fund. Because, for example, if they say they want to build an infrastructure for PC game, but you have to understand the market is moving towards the mobile game. So PC game, you have to spend more because technology is, you know, is improving every days. But that's where we need to work together. It's not just the association themselves, the players and all the teams in Malaysia, we can actually work together with KBS. So I would say that not diverse, there's too many association, there's a government side. So somebody need to take charge, somebody need to tell everybody, okay, you guys coming here.
Yeah, okay. So, more engagement, but also more streamlined, more cohesion, more streamlining. All right, thank you so much, Neo, for speaking with me today. That was Neo Toda, or Ahmad Fadli Ahmad Dahlan from Toda Studios. And we're going to take a very quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back with more on the topic of esports. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our discussion about what policies are needed to take esports in Malaysia to the next level. My next guest is Benjamin Low. He's the Vice President of the Melaka Esports Association. Benjamin, thank you so much for joining me on the show. The Ministry of Youth and Sports, they're gathering user insights about the esports ecosystem in the country. They want to use this to draft policies and strategies for esports. Now, what feedback, Benjamin, would you give to federal based on your experience at the state level?
Hi, Melissa. Thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, I mean, it's good that the government and especially KBS is having surveys to essentially understand what the understanding and feedback from the general population of esports. You know, I looked at the survey, and a lot of the questions were very general. So it's good, but it also kind of shows where what level the population's understanding of esports is. So a lot of questions of should esports be, you know, allowed for under 18, you know, whether it should be schools. So these are questions that are really important. But I think, you know, from our perspective is that you look at what ages these players are and these athletes are. So they start from a very young age, you know, they whether there is policy or where if there's lack of policy, kids are still going to be involved with these esports. So I think from MEA's perspective, you know, having proper guidelines or proper introduction to esports at school level from primary to secondary, it's key because these are introductory levels. This is where kids start building habits in terms of surrounding esports. So I think that's one of the key policies that I feel that KBS should look at. And on another note for that, when you look at esports in terms of competitive gaming, we have esports at Commonwealth level, we have world esports levels, and we have esports at Sukma level, which is, you know, university varsity level. But we don't have that gap between, you know, high school and primary. So which if you look at traditional sports, they have MSSM. So, you know, it's kind of odd when you look at that sort of level, there's no transition. So that's another key point why KBS should look into introduction of esports into schools. Whether it's... go ahead.
That's so interesting. Can I ask you right now? I think that's a very interesting point to bring up because, you know, regardless of whether there's any policy on that, kids are already gaming and that's where the talent development starts. Do you see any obstacles to creating policies about esports in schools?
So I think the hurdle or one of the biggest challenges in terms of introducing esports into schools would be perception, what parents think. But I think, again, with that challenge, schools are in the best positions to change that perspective. Because when you talk about teachers are your first level sort of people that will interact with both students and their parents. So if introduction in terms of good policies for schools specifically, I think, you know, we can kind of move along esports in the right direction, and, you know, we can move it along quickly because, you know, kids are then introduced to proper healthy gaming. Parents are also then taught to how to monitor them, how to guide them. So, you know, in terms of how why we look at esports in schools as a very big and important part that government can play in is because of this. And without government support, you cannot go into schools. So I think this is one of those monopoly areas which government has full control and they can make full use of it. And I think in terms of proliferation and rolling it out, I think teachers know how to run modules. So I think in a perspective of how to get it running, I think this is the quickest, fastest and most efficient method.
Right. Benjamin, right now, how is talent currently being discovered or developed at the state level?
So in terms of MEA, we organize multiple tournaments all year round. And one of the major ways that we discover talent is basically through all these competitions, winners and you know, we look at players, how they improve from one tournament to the next. So, I mean, at this level, we look at nurturing, you know, state-level players. You know, we did quite well. We got third in terms of MLBB in the recent Sukma. So in terms of garnering those sort of talent, I think we're pushing it through in terms of more experience, giving them more exposure. So, you know, we introduce them to formats, proper tournament formats, more tournaments with proper legislation. So, you know, you give them exposure in terms of how proper tournaments will be run.
So if you were to think about the way a professional athlete is trained or talent is developed for professional athletes in other areas of sport, what might a good talent development program look like for esports?
So I think esports is very different from your traditional sports, mainly because you negate the physical aspect of any of the traditional sports. So traditionally, kids would develop all the skill sets at a very young age, 9, 10, football, badminton, but they are not able to turn pro until they meet maturity physically. Whilst kids in esports, they don't have that lag time. So they can turn pro at age of 13, 14, and 15. So in terms of what sort of module or way that we can teach these kids or get these kids up to standard, I think it has to be a lot of proliferation at the younger level. Because one of the key things is that, number one, when you're at primary school and early secondary, a lot of teams cannot approach you because you're kind of guarded from parents and this sort of thing. So I think, again, it comes back to why schools should play an important role, is that access to these kids and also proper access, because these are young kids who need proper guidance, and you need people who are trained to handle kids. So in terms of the skill sets that they have, Malaysia has also always been one of those countries that produce top talents, the Dota talents, you know, represent top teams in the world. So I think our technical aspect is on point. I think it's just that the whole development chain in terms of access of younger talents, younger talent pool, and also how we can, create a safe environment for them.
Do you think there might also be an opportunity to improve gender equality in esports if we start them young at that school level?
So I think in terms of esports, it's an equalizer because there's no physical aspect. I mean, there is less physical importance in terms of excelling in esports. So I think if you get them at a young age, I think then you can improve the diversity and the equality. But I think one of the key points here is that the titles that both genders place, there's also a difference. A lot of the titles that are esports and highly competitive are very, you would say tend to cater to a lot more men or male audience. Whereas certain titles that, you know, the female players would pick up would be slightly different. So in terms of I don't think there's a difference in talent, but I think in terms of the size of actual people playing, so then you get, you know, if you have 100 guys, male players playing, you have one top talent, whereas you only have like a smaller pool of female players. So again, going back to your question, if you start them young and then you have proper education exposure at a very young age, you kind of level the playing field. So I think esports is a very good platform for equality.
Just on the note of having policies about esports starting at the school level, I was wondering, Benjamin, whether you know of how other countries do that. I mean, is that being done in any other countries, or would Malaysia have to take the lead on this?
So if you look at other countries, Korea is one very very good example. So at all levels, they have really good processes in terms of how they educate, and they have education process from start to finish. So in the event that the players retire, there's also a career progression for them after esports. Back to the question, like Malaysia wouldn't need to create the wheel, but essentially there are countries like Korea that we can emulate and follow. But I think one thing to note is that I think also government, what you call it, courage in terms of rolling out this sort of programs. So I think here in Melaka, we were quite lucky. Our technology and education EXCO member, YB Rais, is very into esports, and he understands that you have to start at a young age, both to nurture talent, but also to kind of protect our young kids.
Mm. Can I ask you about about infrastructure then? When we think about infrastructure to take esports to the next level, we have, I know, esports hubs, we've got state-of-the-art venues, but what else is needed? What's lacking? What's missing?
So this is a personal opinion. I think, you have purpose-built facilities that can cater to world-class events. But I think in terms of infrastructure, so from Melaka, I think there's a lack of infrastructure. So Melaka has rolled out this smart blueprint. So essentially to introduce 5G and upgrade the city. So these are good infrastructural changes that allows world-class events to be organized. So like if you look at all the major tournaments that have been held in Malaysia, it's been in Kuala Lumpur or Genting, mainly because of, again, financial sponsorship, commercialization. but also the availability of infrastructure to support those sort of events. So like if you look at Malacca, we only have like a capacity of about 10,000 rooms. So, you know, then you're limited to how many people can come for a specific event. So I think, you know, there are a lot of things that is not just related to esports specific, but also it's in terms of infrastructure development throughout the whole process. So it's a tough question, but I think Malaysia has the infrastructure. It's just that the will and the commercialization to organize big local tournaments.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. That was Benjamin Low from the Malacca Esports Association wrapping up this episode. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night. We'll be right back.